City Council will come back from recess. Carla, can you call the next three people signed up to testify? And I would ask that people limit their testimony to 2 minutes. If you absolutely prepared for three, we'll let you have three. But we find what can be said really, really well in 3 minutes can be said even better in two.
Okay. The next three are Peter Sweet, Vern Reifer, and Burley Bookin.
Beverly Bookin.
Beverly, I'm sorry.
Or Burley Bookin.
Burley.
Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Welcome. I have a prepared remark, and so hopefully I'll fit it within your two-minute limit. My name's Peter Sweet. I live in Lake Oswego. I'm a retired banker. I downsized 12 years ago from our house here in Portland and moved to Lake Oswego. I must admit that I've been very inactive in getting involved in political issues until this project cropped up. Mayor Hoffman, however, got my attention when he attended a neighborhood annual meeting last spring and he gave his justification for the streetcar. His quote was, "We want you to have a commuting alternative 25 years from now, and I want my personal legacy as mayor to be the streetcar and the development of Foothills." Gradually, more and more citizens got involved and have spent collectively thousands of hours reading the DIS, challenging its facts, digging into why this project does or does not deserve our support and taxpayer money. The ownership of the right-of-way seems to be the driving force to put this project ahead of more worthy transit projects in the metro area. I personally, being an ex-banker, I personally focused on the claim that the right-of-way purchased in 1988 for $2 million was now worth more than, as we heard this morning, $80 million. The first step was to get a copy of the 2008 appraisal from TriMet. Initially, we were stymied until a couple of our city council members asked Neil McFarland for a copy of it. Having read and lent money against hundreds of appraisals in my banking career, I was amazed that the methodology and the sales comparisons in the appraisal seemed to be a stretch. One figure caught me. A stretch of the right-of-way inside the Elk Rock Tunnel was being compared to sales of Willamette Riverfront property and was given a value of $4 million per acre. This intrigued me, and I turned to the internet since I wasn't personally familiar with how appraisers value right-of-ways. I found numerous articles, and I called several of the authors to find out more. Based on my description of the 2008 appraisal, they confirmed my suspicion that the appraiser may not have used the methodology accepted by courts and recommended by the Appraisal Institute, which licenses MAIs. A small group of citizens ponied up $2,500 to have one of these MAI appraisers experienced in right-of-ways to conduct a review of the 2008 appraisal. The review cited flawed methodology. The appraisal omits a statement that it conforms to federal standards. The photographs of the right-of-way are inadequately identified and no dates mentioned. The definition of market value is wrong. Site data is inadequate. Improvement data is inadequate. Property history is inadequate. Assessed value and tax load is omitted in the zoning section. Appraiser does not mention the rezoning probability that would allow alternate uses. In land valuation, the comparable data is inadequately described. In the final valuation estimate, the reviewer found the conclusions to be inadequate and not suitable for trial.
So, sir, I've let you go over a minute. So you're past your 3 minutes. I actually let you go another 40 seconds. So can you just wrap up here?
Sure. Anyway, you get the idea.
Yep.
This appraisal was given a maximum value in order to minimize the cash outlay of local match. I don't believe that it is an accurate appraisal. I'd be happy to email each of you a copy of this review.
Thank you. We need to move on. Thank you for your point, sir.
I'm Vern Reifer. I'm a resident of John's Landing and a real estate developer. Have developed quite a few buildings in John's Landing area, including affordable housing. And I was a member of the Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee that Ellie represented. John's Landing is a very attractive neighborhood on the river with good infrastructure. But for those of you that know it, there was talk today about aging in place. John's Landing is a neighborhood that's aging in place. And it's isolated from the rest of the city, and it's viewed as a pass-through, clear back from the days when it was the plank road that went to Salem. Highway 43 is a pass-through in that neighborhood. There's two things that are going to be needed to revitalize a neighborhood that can be of a tremendous service to the rest of the city. One is to convert Highway 43 into a main street. That's the primary thing that the neighbors, the residents of John's Landing, would like to see done, with improved pedestrian access, improved retail along the street, slowing the traffic. And the second is to connect the neighborhood to the rest of the city. And the streetcar can do that in a way that there's no other street system that can possibly do. So a lot of the points have been made, but I think there's three things that are really critical. I'd like to talk specifically to the two of you about the affordable housing, having done a lot of affordable housing. The kind of density that we're talking about in John's Landing, 2-to-1 FAR to 4-to-1 FAR, primarily wood frame buildings, those can be built in the range of 60% of the cost of housing in South Waterfront, downtown, and other areas. Therefore, we can get a lot more units of affordable housing in John's Landing because of the kind of density, the kind of development that's going to occur there. And most importantly, then, you have a neighborhood that is supportive of the redevelopment of its neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They look forward to new buildings, look forward to new retail, they look forward to new housing. So you have the two things coming together in a place if we can provide Main Street and circulation.
Thank you, sir. Beverly?
Good afternoon. I'm Beverly Bookin. I'm a resident of John's Landing and a member of the LOTP Citizens Advisory Committee, serving on behalf of the John's Landing Owners Association, which represents 125 condominium owners on the east side of Southwest McAdam near Southwest Pendleton. As a member of the CAC, I started out as a proponent of enhanced bus, but over time became convinced that the streetcar is a better option. As a professional land use planner, I believe that the benefits are substantial of the proposed one-mile diversion of the streetcar from the Willamette Shores line onto McAdam Avenue through the heart of John's Landing. With three proposed stations, including one at Southwest Pendleton, fixed transit will offer the stimulus needed to jumpstart mixed-use redevelopment along the corridor that long has lagged, improve the pedestrian environment, and create opportunities for intra-district walk and bike trips, and will result in 450,000 to 550,000 more riders a year, including commuters from Lake Oswego and Lake West Lynn, hoping to reduce through traffic in our neighborhood that really degrades our quality of life. In addition, because of the greater vehicle capacity, annual operating costs of the streetcar estimated to be $1.5 million a year less than enhanced bus. Both the neighborhood and business associations in the district are in support of the streetcar option in the preferred alignment along Southwest McAdam and are willing to lobby our neighbors for the establishment of a local improvement district to help fund the local share of the project's cost. Moreover, there is growing support to convert the unused portion of the Willamette Shores line to bike ped improvements to augment the greenway, although approval and funding of such a rail-to-trail conversion would have to be considered separately. For these reasons, on behalf of my fellow owners in the John's Landing area, I urge that the City Council approve moving the preferred option into the next phase of study. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
The next three are Richard Ross, R.A. Fontes, and Keith Benjamin. And they'll be followed by Terry Parker, Owen Roncelli, and David Bartz.
Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Richard Ross. I'm a Portland resident, and I'm also a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee for Portland Streetcar. I served as a facilitator for the streetcar concept plan for all of the Southeast neighborhoods. And for 22 years, I was the lead transportation planner and planning manager for the city of Gresham. So that whole period in which light rail was developed, built, and then implemented in Gresham. I recently returned, just yesterday, from a week in a wonderful city that is thriving and is prosperous and gorgeous, the city of Boston, which has a rapid transit system that they did not dismantle as Portland did. So we're having to start over, and we're making a wonderful start with our light rail and our streetcar system. But I think there's a lesson there for us. We shouldn't have to do that again. Three points I'd like to make. Streetcar option in this corridor is the right option at the right place at the right time. Also, the locally preferred alternative helps us begin connecting the pieces in South Portland and northern Clackamas County, and I'll mention what those pieces are. Finally, I think the locally preferred alternative is a good place to start the region's first streetcar, rapid streetcar, I like that term, outside of the central city. That was something that the Southeast Streetcar Advisory Group was very interested in, their strong support for streetcar outside of the central city with all of those 19 Southeast neighborhoods that I worked with. Back to the first point, this is a streetcar is the right time, the right place. It's a key piece for our infrastructure on both sides of the Willamette River in Portland, for the areas south of there in Lake Oswego, Riverdale. Second point, how it helps us begin connecting the pieces. We have two pieces that are committed, the Selwood Bridge and the Milwaukee MAX. The next pieces for the streetcar system should be the Tacoma streetcar to connect this project to the MAX line, the Milwaukee MAX. And then from there east, our committee for Southeast recommended a Woodstock corridor to connect between the two MAX lines in South Portland, the Milwaukee MAX and the 205 MAX. Final point, after the 1986 opening of the light rail in Gresham, there were many people who had been critics that reminded us we hadn't done enough. And so they wanted double tracking. They wanted better service. They wanted parking garages for more park and rides, all of those things that we need to fill in as part of a transit system. However, I think these arguments that we're hearing this morning are sincere, but they need to think about the big picture and what's happened before with these lines in the region, as Mayor Hamestad mentioned. Final point is I think your addendum to the resolution, Exhibit C, is terrific because it lays out the logical steps that we need to take to explore this promising option.
Thanks, sir. Sir, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is R.A. Fonts, Lake Oswego. I have to talk a little bit about what staff presented earlier. Number one, no build is not by any stretch of the imagination doing nothing. The RTP includes $3.6 million to improve the 35, more than doubling capacity. This will give us, according to the DEIS, a possibility of carrying 7,000 riders through the corridor section, which is four times what we're doing now. And if you think Lake Oswego and its 0.38% growth per year is going to give you four times as many riders, nothing. It's not the cheapest. The $1.25 million that Doug quoted earlier was the cost over and above no build. It's not net. It's not the fastest. I rode this morning from Lake Oswego Transit Center to the Columbia Street, and it took me 24 minutes. With the streetcar, with the extra walking distance at the south end, with a transfer at this end, it will take 45. 24 minutes bus, 45 minutes streetcar. How in the world does that make it faster? Talking about corridor constraints, when the Selwood Bridge weight limits were in place in 2004, the volumes went down dramatically all through the corridor, not just north but also south. And this flies in the face of one of the DEIS primary assumptions, that there's so much demand that the streetcar will only take out 100 cars during the peak commute. There is no demand. There is no latent demand. My wife and I currently use the bus. We will not be able to use a streetcar as much as we use the current bus. It's not fast enough. And there are other times, because of the extra problems at night particularly or in weather, or we just won't bother. Just so much easier to use our car. We have no objection at all to the MOS, particularly, in fact, requiring that you do not require us to transfer. Then there's no problem. And finally, There's only one alternative that's cheapest to build and operate, requiring no city funding. There's only one that minimizes congestion, only one that provides the fastest trips for the majority of riders, only one that's the most convenient, only one provides most mobility and access to transit. Only one will improve service for each and every rider without exception, and I'm sorry to say that that only one is no build. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Sir.
Keith Benjamin this morning on behalf of Public Storage. Public Storage owns a 623-unit facility at 801 North State Street in Lake Oswego. The facility is scheduled to be totally displaced if the Foothills option of the streetcar alternative is selected. Public Storage, this location serves a vital service to Lake Oswego and Portland residents, and it's also an incubator to small businesses and subcontractors. That's something that's not necessarily known about Public Storage and what they do. Losing this facility is problematic because there are no other suitable locations in that particular market area of Lake Oswego or Portland for them to relocate. Public Storage is generally in favor of transportation projects, especially in this area, but they feel that that a good transportation network means a good business for them as folks are able to better get to their facilities. However, a review of the DIS points to very little, if any, improvement in the traffic on Highway 43 as a result of the streetcar project. Finally, Public Storage is concerned that the cost to build the streetcar will continue to increase, and I'd refer to the comments made earlier about the problems with the appraisal that were done on the west, or on the Willamette Shoreline right-of-way. Public Storage would ask that you not move the streetcar forward as the locally preferred alternative due to these reasons and the others that you've heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Thank you all.
Next, Mayor, and when the staff comes back, I have a couple questions relating to that about what the options are vis-a-vis the public storage buildings in the
room. Next three.
Are Terry Parker, Owen Roncelli, and David Bartz, and they'll be followed by Tony Marks, Brian Dornan, and Tara Krugel.
Welcome. Thanks for waiting. We're glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Sure. My name is Owen Roncelli, and I am the chair of the City of Portland's Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee, not to be confused with the Project Citizens Advisory Committee. I'll try to keep my comments brief. The Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee are the citizen stewards of streetcar and streetcar neighborhoods. The CAC demands high-quality transit service from streetcar operations and meets monthly with PSI leadership to ensure that service meets objectives for reliability, safety, for all users. The Streetcar CAC has been integral to the design and development of the existing streetcar systems and will be involved with the evolution of the Lake Oswego streetcar option if that opportunity is presented to us. Streetcar CAC supports the Lake Oswego option and looks forward to working with the citizens of Lake Oswego and their adjacent neighborhoods. The Streetcar CAC is eager to participate in the design and development of streetcar and to make sure that it will provide high-quality service for transit users and as an asset to neighborhoods and communities it serves. Unlike other transportation options, streetcar will enliven the area with foot traffic between the stations and make it a more walkable community, furthering the aspirations and the concept of the 20-minute neighborhood. This project will connect neighborhoods with South Waterfront, downtown, and even the airport to access services and jobs provided benefits in all locations. The CAC urges the council to choose streetcar as a locally preferred option. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, and thanks for your service. Mr. Parker.
Yes, my name is Terry Parker. I'm a fourth generation Portlander. I'm speaking for myself. This is probably closer to 3 minutes. Excuse me. The proposed Lake Oswego streetcar is shaping up to be another example of the frenzy of unsustainable spending by local governments for the primary purpose of leveraging a socially engineered agenda. The Boondoggle project is akin to the West Side Express, where the cost per passenger is nearly 8 times that of the fares collected. This type of project is exactly one of the reasons why this country is in a recession. The project simply doesn't pencil out economically, is not cost-effective, travel times are too slow, and it has lacked any honest objectivity by those charged with doing so. The project is being ego-driven by a reckless, obsessive conspiracy of streetcar fanatics. The advisory groups were likely handpicked, given a litmus test of sorts, and vetted so they would say yes to the prerequisite of a streetcar recommendation in any consulting work commissioned by the City of Portland. The whole process has been manipulated, has been a manipulated stack deck from the start, a charade devised to dictate to and implement more authoritarian control over the people. Even with the unbridled extravagant spending, nearly $500,000 for such a lavish project, the streetcar will only serve a trivial amount of the populace with little to no congestion relief on Highway 43. Moreover, if the proposed streetcar route takes the absurd long way around and is diverted off the private right-of-way and placed on McAdam Avenue near John's Landing, the streetcar will actually make things worse, having a negative impact by creating additional and artificial congestion on Highway 43. If the private sector took this project on, took a project like this on using taxpayer dollars, it would be called a racketeering money laundering scheme. For the bureaucrats that support the streetcar, it's an ego trip calculated to keep Portland on the map of so-called progressive cities. Progressive, however, in this case, has gone full tilt, coming across more like a socialistic welfare program for potential streetcar passengers and bookend developers that must be subsidized with blood money from local taxpayers. Please answer, where do the local money trees grow that can be picked and plucked? The streetcar is the wrong way to go. It costs too much. The upfront costs are too high. The daily operation requires ongoing taxpayer-funded subsidies, making the entire concept unsustainable. This biased railroad job needs to be stopped right here and now. The streetcar should not move forward or be built. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Sir.
Good morning. Thank you, David Bartz. I'm a resident of Lake Oswego, and I work across the street here and have for 28 years. Please don't approve the LPA. The DEIS, the document you've used to communicate with the public, said you won't approve it if it's not fiscally responsible and if it's not had broad public support. And you know today it doesn't. It may get there, but it doesn't have it today. So you really should, in faith with what you told the public, not approve the LPA today. It is a decision point today. Some of you were told that it's not a decision, and a decision is 2 years off. You will spend $25 million between today and that decision point. That's not just a decision point. In 2013, I predict, as I've seen this before, we'll be told, well, we're 2 years further down the road. We spent all this money. You have to approve it. It is a decision for the streetcar today. It's not a decision to look at better alternatives. It's a decision for the streetcar. The DEIS says it's a close call. 400 extra riders on the streetcar at peak hours. That's what you're buying with this kind of money. 400 people benefit. 7-minute better ride. That's what it is. I ride the bus to Lake Oswego or from Lake Oswego to Portland. Not all the time, but I ride it. It works. Enhancing the bus system works. The key to sustainability is building on infrastructure you already have, not throwing it out for new and nifty. We can't afford to throw out new and nifty all the time. This will work and enhance bus, and maybe there's some good questions you've raised today about where does the money come from and what's the schedule. But if you approve the LPA today, you've already launched on a streetcar project. We've been told the environmental problems will get fixed. We've been told to rely on federal money. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal told us why we have to be really careful relying on federal money. I mean, our bonds are now degraded to risky or whatever it is. It's not a good situation. And to just say we'll rely on federal money doesn't make sense. Again, that's not sustainable. Lake Oswego is not Portland. I've worked in John's Landing. I've got clients in John's Landing. I think building John's Landing makes a ton of sense. But stretching this or requiring it to go to Lake Oswego, we've already got a trolley that serves some empty towers, glass towers. We don't need a trolley, a streetcar serving empty towers in Lake Oswego. That isn't what Lake Oswego wants. That's why they're a 4-3. That's not broad public support. And we'd encourage you to vote no on the LPA. Thank you.
What empty towers?
Oh, the riverfront, the south waterfront, south McAdam, which is struggling. I mean, I'm not criticizing something. It made some sense at the time. It'll probably pay itself off.
Yeah,
but to launch forward now.
Thank you. I didn't mean to. I just asked a clarifying factual question.
Sure.
The next three are Tony Marks, Brian Dornan, and Tara Krugel.
All right, next three.
Skip Ormsby, Jacob Thompson, and Jay Stark.
Ormsby, Thompson, did you say Stark?
Stark, yes.
We have movement out there. Are you Ormsby?
How about Opal? O'Callaghan.
And you are?
Crystal Lobman from Opal.
Excellent.
Brian Monberg.
Brian.
Oh, here's Callaghan.
Sorry. Oh, Mr. Callahan. Great. Please begin.
Well, yes. My name is Charles Ormsby. I live at 170 Southwest Birds Hill Road, Portland, Oregon, 97219-8502. This is in Clackamas County. I'm here representing myself and not my neighborhood association this afternoon. I'm opposed to the streetcar. I agree with all the arguments against it that have been presented today so far. I'd like to add for cautionary notes for the city of Portland. First off, be very careful and make sure that you don't buy into beautifying the Tryon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant with Portland ratepayer tax dollars. This is essential. Beautification is essential for the success of Foothills. It's not likely to occur. Second, the terminus of going into Lake Oswego, I think you're missing an economic opportunity for City of Portland by not running it on Hood and Virginia Avenues in Johns Landing area and then connecting up with Lewis and Clark through the south side of the Riverview Cemetery. This has never been examined. Trade-offs can be occurred with the Powers Marine Park, development opportunities, 75 to 150 acres, and connecting up Lewis and Clark College with the Portland Region system without a transfer, I think is a very good idea. Answer safety questions of putting the in McAdam Railroad right-of-way. For the reason being, there's no stopping distance data for legal matters. What liability are you holding yourself out to? Third, there are two blowout points on Highway 43 with respect to the streetcar, Elk Rock and Kerry Lane, with respect to earthquake conditions. You may well have liability issues with that, to the detriment of Highway 43's continued operation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ma'am?
Name's Crystal Wobden. I'm representing Opal. This is my first time speaking in front of this body, so I thank you for your patience.
Could you remind us what Opal is again?
Opal, Environmental Justice Oregon. We're an intercultural, community-based organization working to empower working-class communities and people of color around social justice and environmental justice issues. And public transportation is safe, accessible, and affordable public transportation is a civil rights and environmental justice issue. Opal and our Bus Riders Unite leadership team support public transit investments that serve transit-dependent communities that are fiscally sound and promote service and operations. The proposed streetcar project between Portland and Lake Oswego is none of these things. Portland must reject this project and moving forward in the planning process on principles of inequality and fiscal responsibility. Like transit authorities across the country, TriMet is experiencing severe budgetary concerns. TriMet has cut 170,000 hours of service the past 2 years. Fares have risen over 70% and counting. These cuts and rising fares have impacted transit-dependent communities hardest, working-class families, people of color, the elders, and disabled, above all, bus riders. Bus riders make up two-thirds of all daily boardings in the region, and the bus is still the primary mode of transit that connects low-income communities to economic, educational, social, and recreational opportunities. While some of these impacts are due to declining payroll tax revenue, a primary reason for these burdens is TriMet's shift in fiscal priorities, away from service frequency and into excessive capital improvement projects. Excuse me. Current projections place the local, regional, and state match for this streetcar at $144 million. These funds will come primarily from payroll tax revenue bonds and other sources that could otherwise be used for operations. The opportunity cost is substantial. Instead of investing in more capital projects, TriMet can implement the following environmentally just and sustainable policies. One, restore frequent service lines to 12 to 15-minute headways instead of current 17 to 20 minutes for some lines considered frequent. Two, increase the transfer time for single-trip fares to 3 hours for daily boardings and through the end of evening service for boardings after 7 p.m., providing a benefit to transit-dependent riders and an incentive to choice riders. And three, fund a youth pass program to provide access to public transit for all high school students in the region, creating lifelong public transit users instead of captured youth who look to the automobile as their escape. And four, fund a low-income subsidy connected to the Oregon Trails Card or other benefit program to provide increased access to public transit for our most dependent riders who are increasingly opting out of transit in favor of clunkers.
Are you familiar with 13,000 transit passes for Portland Public School high schools? I just want to make sure you're familiar. This council has passed ordinances that provided for that. We got more to do, but it's a down payment. And you're out of time. Any final thoughts?
Opal opposes this project because it's not equitable, it violates civil rights, and conflicts with sustainable service investments. Lake Oswego is significantly more white and more wealthy than our national average or regional average. And
thank you.
Essentially less capital, more service. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony, for being patient and sitting through the morning. Mr. Callahan.
Thank you for you sitting through the morning. Okay, a few comments. First of all, I appreciate the amendment, looking for more information. I certainly would question the $300 million development here, almost $1 billion worth of development. I think that that is imaginary. As to options, okay, there were three options, and one was no build. No other options were considered. My issue I speak to is clean air. Okay, I've been a clean air advocate. My first issues were down here in Portland years ago in the 60s, in fact. But clean air is extremely important to me. Okay, and that is what this deals with, in part because Highway 43 is congested. Okay, I-5's congested, 205's congested. We all know what it's like in rush hour traffic. Okay, here's the proposal. Okay, during rush hour traffic, when traffic at certain places slows below 15 miles an hour, we set up cameras there and we take pictures of all these cars' license plates. If your license plates appear more than X times in a month, you're sent a bill. Okay? And the nice thing about this is that as people get their bills and they stop driving during rush hour traffic can go away and this tax can go away. And the revenue from that tax can fund non-pollution transportation systems and pollution reduction transportation systems. Let's be a little more creative here. Instead of building the I-5 bridge over the Columbia River, let's reduce traffic. If you want to drive, go ahead, but pay for it. And the same thing with companies that have trucks in traffic. They pay too, because if there isn't traffic, their trucks go faster. And here's the basis of my whole process. When we had the oil embargo in the 70s, driving in San Francisco and Alameda County dropped one-third. A study done by San Francisco and done by University of California at Berkeley.
Mr. Callahan, if you could wrap up by conveying your point.
Okay. A study done by University of California at Berkeley found that deaths in the hospital attributed to lung and heart disease dropped one-third. Okay? One-page study. Okay? Let's improve our air by taxing those that pollute it. Thank you.
Thank you for your point, and thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Is there a Ryan from Salem?
I think that was...
The other gentleman, okay. See, Brian Monberg, Jim Ballard, Lauren Hughes... And then left are Mark White and Pete Colt.
Thank you very much for your patience and sitting through the hearing. We're really glad that you're here. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Mayor, Council, thank you. My name is Brian Monberg. I'm a senior planner with Metro. And I'd like to talk to you about regional trails and parks in relation to the transit project. Jurisdictional partners have been working together to ensure that the streetcar will be compatible with the recreation and natural resource goals for the south reach of the Willamette River. As we've talked about, this area does include several parks, as well as Stevens Creek and the Tryon Creek watershed, And these are areas of critical natural resources, floodplain, and habitat. In addition, the Lake Oswego to Portland Trail has long been a part of the regional trail system, and that's reflected in the Blue Ribbon Committee for Trails, Metro's Active Transportation Program, and the greater vision for the Intertwine. The Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission advised Council in a letter dated April 15 to direct PBOT to work with Portland Parks, the Bureau of Environmental Services, and the Bureau of Developmental Services to collaborate with the transit staff to ensure that any impacts to recreation and the natural resources from the transit project, the Selwood Bridge project, and the Greenway Trail, all of those impacts are avoided where we can and where unavoidable are fully addressed and mitigated. And as we discussed earlier, Don Hansen and Mike Houck facilitated a discussion with Metro, PBOT, and Parks, which led to the Be It Resolved statements that are part of your council packet today. And transit project staff has agreed to work collaboratively with Parks, Metro, and BES to coordinate the three projects. Finally, although we've heard some concerns about parks and natural resources, we are working together. In addition to the transit process, Portland Parks is initiating a trail and habitat study for the parks in the South Reach, and Metro and partners are also initiating a trail design work this summer for south of the Selwood Bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Hi.
Okay, thank you. My name is Jim Bolland, B-O-L-L-A-N-D. Thank you, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I'm here today. I'm the Land Use Committee Chair for the Lake Oswego Neighborhood Action Coalition, LONAC. It's an organization, a loosely private organization of neighborhood reps and citizens throughout the community, been around for over 20 years. On April 2nd, we passed a resolution as follows. Be it resolved that the membership of the Lake Oswego Neighborhood Action Coalition is opposed to the streetcar as the locally preferred alternative over the enhanced bus or no-build options. We believe that the streetcar proponents have not proven that project benefits are commensurate with the estimated $450 million project cost. Congestion will not be significantly reduced, and the streetcar does not provide a better transit opportunity for all Lake Oswego and local area users. We believe that the purported economic and development benefits of the streetcar are overstated and unrealistic. We believe that streetcar construction will cause irreversible environmental damage to sensitive lands and wildlife located along the proposed route. We further believe that currently unknown local funding requirements for construction and operation of the streetcar will place a significant future burden on Lake Oswego taxpayers. Finally, we believe that streetcar construction and operation will divert financial resources away from important new projects supported by the whole community, as well as schools, street maintenance, parks, library, police, and fire. I want to tell you a little bit about who I am, because Mayor Hoffman referred to the opposition to the streetcar as a highly organized but implied misinformed group. We are highly organized in the sense that we are just neighbors and citizens, and we have used nothing but the numbers presented in the DEIS. That's what we have used to challenge the assumptions in this. Mayor Hammerstead referred to the opposition to the streetcar as a highly organized group that was being led by a paid lobbyist. I have been a neighborhood chair of the First Edition neighborhood for 9 years. 5 years as the Land Use Committee Chair for LONAC. I've served on numerous task forces, CACs, the South Willamette Crossing Study for Metro. I have never paid a penny to a lobbyist, nor am I being led by a lobbyist. I am working with three city councilors and representatives of numerous community organizations in Lake Oswego who adamantly oppose what we feel is a very bad project for our community. We are a community of 37,000 people who have just finished an over $100,000 sewer project and are about to embark on a $200,000 water project, and nobody has analyzed whether we will be able to pay, how we possibly could pay for our part of this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ma'am?
Good afternoon. Lauren Hughes, and I'm a citizen of Lake Oswego, and I'm also a board member for Citizens for Stewardship of Lake Oswego Lands. The mission of our nonprofit grassroots citizen group is to preserve the beauty and livability of our community while championing the equal rights of all Lake Oswego property owners to make reasonable use of their land. We seek to promote fair, equitable, and scientifically valid approaches to environmental protection. Back in January, our organization raised many of the same concerns that were within the April 11th Portland Audubon letter, and we submitted that to the project partners back in January. Unlike Audubon, we have taken a position against the streetcar due to the mitigation issues, which in Lake Oswego seem to involve restrictions on our private backyards. I've read the DEIS and three of the technical reports. There is no doubt the streetcar option is environmentally devastating to the Willamette Riverfront. The EPA and Department of Interior have commented that the streetcar is the most environmentally damaging option and will require significant and costly compensatory mitigation. Just this week, Portland Audubon also provided a letter that indicates that the streetcar has significant environmental impacts that would require extensive mitigation. But the reality is that despite mitigation efforts, the streetcar will forever change the character and habitat of the riverfront, which Portland Audubon characterizes as follows, and I quote, "The west bank of the Willamette River between Portland and Lake Oswego represents a little-known jewel, one of the last places on the lower Willamette that still retains relatively high ecological function and high potential for restoration. The facts of the DEIS are the construction and operation of the streetcar will disturb up to 71 acres, destroy critical habitat resulting in the death of birds, mammals, fish, and other wildlife, fill 10 acres of floodplain, add up to 26 more acres of impervious surfaces, impact the habitat and serenity of several Portland parks, and have long-term negative impacts on 15 protected species, including salmon and bald eagles. Retaining walls needed for the landslide and earthquake issues in the area will be so high that the animals will be trapped and run over by the streetcar." At least that's what the DEIS says, although at average speeds of 13 miles an hour, I think the animals can probably outrun the streetcar, although the turtles might have a problem. With the streetcar running through this area every 7 to 12 minutes, it is unlikely, even with the coordination strategies and extensive and costly mitigation mentioned in the resolution, that the area can retain the high ecological function that it has now. The restoration opportunities in the area can be pursued regardless of the streetcar construction and would be far more beneficial without the streetcar in the area. If you approve the streetcar as the LPA today, your actions will speak far louder than the words you profess regarding Portland being an environmentally focused region. Every 7 to 12 minutes, there will be a shameful reminder that Portland helped trade the little-known jewel of the lower Willamette and its bald eagles and salmon for streetcars, condos, and plazas, much like you've done in the South Waterfront. The resolution shamelessly rationalizes this project and misrepresents the facts. The truth of the DEIS is that the streetcar is proposed to be built in a known earthquake landslide area within the 100-year floodplain, causing massive environmental damage with no significant benefits to traffic congestion or emissions at the staggering cost of $458 million. There is no way to rationalize and mitigate that. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Last two
are Mark White and Pete Colt.
Mr. White, Mr. Colt, welcome back. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. My name is Mark White. I'm president of Palhurst Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I want to thank council for your thoughtful questions during the session. I really appreciated that. And while I could make a judgment on the value and importance of the project, I'm not going to do that. But I will just put out there that it's very likely that federal funding is going to be diminished. There's incredible effort to reduce the deficit, with $4 trillion being talked about. So I think it's very real that the amount of federal money that's going to be available for transportation projects is going to be seriously reduced. So I would like to ask that council commit to providing an equal amount of staff time, energy, and effort toward a streetcar line wholly within the city of Portland and not connected to downtown, and to get it funded before this line. I believe the transformative value of doing that in some of our areas of the city that are in dire need of economic development will be much higher than something going to Lake Oswego. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Colt?
Well, hi, I'll probably need my 3 minutes. I want to say that the streetcar is really cute. I think, however, that we're all thinking small. I think we've missed the fourth option, which is probably the most environmentally friendly option and one that the city council would see with foresight would help us in case not in case of when we have the disaster. One of the things that we have going on here in Portland is that we're not able to link the east and west sides yet during a disaster, and we have nothing on the west side. If we opted to forgo the streetcar and instead put in a ferry system starting at Oregon City and heading north to the Columbia, what we can do then is during a disaster be able to ferry goods and people across the river. We'll have a really good tourist attraction. People really want to ride that thing. And we'll have a way to get people to and from work from West Lynn, and from Oregon City, from everywhere along the line. It'll be gentler on the environment, gentler on the river. We can do so many other things then with that little rail that we still have. I'd also encourage us again to think big, and that is that we own Rosie. I think we should explore if we can get a bigger bit so that we can start partnering with TriMet and the Port of Portland, because we all know the big hang-up in getting people from Hillsborough to the airport is downtown. I think with Mr. Hughes on Metro right now and him coming from Hillsborough, he might get on board with something like this, but we could also include the Port of Portland. It might be, and it's an option which we could also get money from Tiger, Beaverton, everybody along the line. So those are just a couple of things to think about, and I happen to agree with this gentleman here. I think it's important that if we're going to put in a streetcar, we really should do it for people in our town. It's sort of like when I read about how we were thinking about taking some of the sewer funds next year for that scholarship, which I love the idea of a scholarship, but then you're going to put them to Clackamas County Community College. I thought, well, what about Portland? What about the equity here in our neighborhoods? So I know how we are. We love our streetcars. I'm asking you to put this on hold. One more thing. Lake Oswego, very low bar. 900 signatures will get this on the ballot in May. From what I'm hearing today or what I read in the paper, it looks like it's going to be shot down in Lake Oswego. I think we should not put the cart before the horse and maybe wait and see what they're going to do before we take a vote on this. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you all very much. All right. Would council like staff to come back up? I would.
Yeah,
I would. I got some questions, and I'm going to take the prerogative and get them out first. If the money comes in, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the federal government and efforts to cut the budget. This would come out of the New Starts Fund, correct, or Small Starts?
New Starts.
New Starts.
New Starts. And is that currently funded? Yeah, sorry. That's a TriMet issue.
You mean this project or?
No, not this project. Just a little airing out of that bucket of money.
Right. Apologize for the musical chairs here. Right now in the budget that just passed for FY 2011, there's approximately $1.6 billion available for New Starts that basically fully funds the amounts that were expected to go to the projects that are in the pipeline right now. It's slightly below previous years. Going forward, of course, will be decided in future years.
Okay. And in terms of the assessment and valuation, in the end, it's been my experience that the federal government decides. We can show them whatever assessments we've done, but in the end, they decide how much credit they're going to give for land. Is that still true?
That's correct.
Okay. So that'll be in the next phase. We can have more conversations with them, but in the end, they decide no matter what assessments we have here, has been my experience.
Right.
In terms of what might happen with in the John's Landing area, what Beverly talked about in terms of Greenway and the easement that's currently through the John's Landing apartments, we haven't really talked much about that. Have you had discussion with the neighborhood on their aspirations for that in any more detail?
I'll let Patrick elaborate if he has more, but it has been a topic of discussion for the last several years when we started, taking walking tours with the folks in John's Landing and looking at an alternative to staying on the shoreline where it comes so close to the condominium. So that has been discussed along with an LID, and I think at this stage we have had encouragement on both issues from the community.
Right now, it's interesting in talking to folks that don't live in the John's Landing area. There's like a, maybe because they're tucked behind trees or something, there's significant office buildings in the John's Landing area that would be in proximity to the potential streetcar line. Do you know off the top of your head, or maybe you had it in your slide and I just missed it, existing square footage of office space?
No, what we had was... potentially 1.8 million square feet of potential development by 2025. We didn't have the amount of existing office space in John's Landing.
The city's, again, it's a low confidence estimate, but the city's contribution at this point, based on what we know and don't know, is how much?
14 million, approximately.
And if we, once it's ramped up, so because we're not in a tax increment district, the payback to us, and I would want to make investments in, you know, affordable housing, potentially in other amenities separately or in conjunction with this. So if we made $7 million a year, just so I understand the math, that's 2 years we're paid off for our contribution.
The $7 million in additional property tax to the city is based on all the development that will occur you know, through 2025, and once it was all built out, that it would produce that increment of property tax.
Good.
And which goes to all the entities that receive the tax. None would be held back from any one, the county, the school district, et cetera.
Okay. So that it's less, but that it would flow to everybody.
Right.
Okay. Additional council discussion?
So the $14 million is a construction cost?
Right. The city's share of the capital cost.
What's the soft cost? I mean, what are we incurring in our cost? I mean, we heard earlier about $300,000 in the upcoming fiscal year. There was a figure about 25. I think David Bart said we're going to spend $25 million. I think that was more than just Portland. But
right,
so yeah, what are the soft costs before we get to that decision, go or no go on this?
Okay, I mentioned earlier that we expect to come back to council in July of this year with an intergovernmental agreement with TriMet. That would do that initial work that we're calling pre-preliminary engineering work. And the city's share of that would be $335,000. So that would be your vote in July to initiate that. The cost, half the cost would be borne, the same amount would be borne by the city of Lake Oswego. Mm-hmm. That takes us through that step. We come back to council in January of 2012 with a report with all that information. And then it would be your decision on whether or not you wanted to support the preparation of the New Starts application to the Federal Transit Administration. I don't have a figure for that, what that cost is, but I think it might be several hundred thousand dollars, something like that. So, and then that work would be done, as we said before. That application would be prepared and submitted to the FTA. We would have to wait maybe 6 months for them to respond, in which they would give us a rating. It would be at that point that the council and the Council of Lake Oswego and the steering committee would decide whether to enter PE. We would not have spent $25 million up to that point. We would have spent approximately $1 million. The figure of $25 million is the approximate cost of the design of the project, right? And so that's preliminary engineering and final design. And so we would not enter that period until you made that decision to, quote, enter PE.
So in early 2012, we would decide about submitting the federal New Starts application.
Preparing and submitting, right.
We get the rating, and then I guess under the amendment we adopted, is it spring of 2013 or spring of 2012?
Spring of 2013 because of the long time for FTA to review.
We would know by then, hopefully, the FTA's decision. And when do we put the right-of-way question to rest? I mean, when do the feds say this is what we're valuing the right-of-way? I was under the impression that could happen sooner than later.
It's actually a process that goes through over time. For any costs and values, it gets reviewed by a consultant that FTA hires during PE.
Okay, so we talked again about
before our need to make a final decision.
We will have an answer.
Let me see if this answers it. So I think where we're heading is to update an appraisal that will get a better a newer sense of the cost. And then it would be during PE that FTA typically assigns a consultant basically on their behalf to review everything in the project, and that includes costs, appraisals, all of that. And the sort of final go-no-go is whether to apply for final design.
So under the amendment I offered earlier, then I'm getting a little concerned that we're not going to know anything by the time we have to, you know, and that's kind of a concern, a theme we're hearing is we're, you know, this is the key vote, and then from here on out, it's always going to be just over to the next hill. We're going to get that answer just over the next hill, and in the meantime, we're turning out money, and the, you know,
Commissioner, you've been through these before, and you know that it's not quite as bad as that. This one is a little different since we're not running it, but the point in our amendment has to be held. So that is the direction to staff. You've heard what is been the typical process, but we've said we want to know sooner than later, and we'll go out and get that confirmation sooner than later. I agree with you. But I think the fact that we've got such a large land potential in kind does make this different. And I do want more upfront certainty. I think that is important. But I don't, you know, I think that can be done.
We have certainly used in-kind for previous projects. We haven't had one this large, so it is a special case and deserves special attention.
So I guess I'm just still trying to pin down. We're supposed to have a vote in spring of 2013, and earlier this morning you told us, one of you told us, maybe you told us, Mayor, that we would have an answer on the valuation prior to such a vote.
And now
I'm hearing we're sort of saying we may have that valuation, but it's not clear.
We will, during the review of the PE, apologize, this is getting into so much detail. Part of the point is to make these projects hard so that only those who are truly committed to them actually get them done. During the rating of the PE, of the PE application, they review everything, including the costs. We'll get a rating on that. That rating will include a rating on the local financial commitment that includes the in-kind. So we will have a very good read on what the likelihood is.
And just to try to decipher a little more, is the rating includes a narrative. So if the rating is low or high, it, as we have in our previous applications, it tells you that it can tell you, they will tell you what the deficiencies are. Right. So if they say your rating's low because you're overvaluating the land, they will tell us.
And again, that rating comes out when in this process?
It comes out prior to that spring 2013 decision.
It does.
Along with the what you and Lake Oswego's council have called for, which is a appraisal of the right-of-way.
Right.
And then I just want to make sure also that when you come back to us in spring that we're going to know about Highway 43, whether we're assuming jurisdiction of it or and the costs associated with that or not. I mean, I assume that would be something we would.
You'll have information on that in the report by January of 2012.
Yeah.
That work is underway now.
And then at some point, we're going to have a commitment from the TriMet, not simply that it's in our forecast, but we're going to operate this thing.
Right. Before we can go forward into actually implementing a project, we have to make that commitment.
You have to do that to the feds.
So, Mayor, I have a question. We had the gentleman who testified about the public storage, and we've also gotten some information about that previously. The public storage issue to me, it resonates with me a little bit because, as you know, public storages are generally places where small businesses use them as their back office to store papers and materials. And people who are either new to this area or downsizing use it to store their personal belongings. So there's a finite number of these businesses that are available and affordable and accessible. So without getting too deep into this, are there options that will be considered that are short of running a line through their footprint?
Yes. And let me just take a minute, if you'll indulge me. The DEIS analyzes the potential displacements along the entire alignment, and specifically in Lake Oswego. In Lake Oswego, in the Foothills District, there were two alternatives analyzed in the DEIS, one called the UPRR alignment, Union Pacific Railroad alignment, and the second, a Foothills alignment. Each of them has slightly different benefits and impacts. The Foothills Road alignment, which is the one that potentially requires a displacement of the storage facility, is not very well defined. It essentially is a 120-foot wide swath that is put through the district in order to analyze potential impacts. It's not based on the design for Foothills, which we're still waiting for. So the DEIS characterizes the impacts to the storage facilities as a potential displacement, not as a required displacement. And a lot will depend on how the city of Lake Oswego goes about designing the Foothills District and specifically the proposed extension of Foothills Road. So there are several opportunities to avoid this displacement along the way.
And Doug, I'm assuming that as part of this analysis, since if you were going to run the light rail through this property, you'd have to condemn it